Carter.
I'm Eloi.
And I'm Erin.
And if you don't know three black bitches who love true crime, you do now. This is the I Ain't a Killer podcast.
Hey, Killer Bees.
And we back.
And snacking.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we are snacking. Yes, this table is covered in snacks.
Yes. We got fruit, we got veggie sticks.
We're going to beef jerky, we got chocolate. organic mango from Whole Foods.
Ooh.
Yeah. The dry kind.
Good on us for being healthy.
I mean, yeah.
So the way I want some flaming hot Cheetos right now.
I mean, I don't know how healthy this this spread really is.
It's a better alternative. At least it's not classic Lay's and hot Cheetos. And
it's true.
Yeah.
We still need to eat that Flamin' Hot mac and cheese.
Me too. Because I'm not going to eat it.
Oh, I forgot about that.
I would have been ate that.
Let's do it. Makes sense. Or should it be a problem or something?
Yeah.
Later, we got to watch Tubi.
Oh, yeah. That's funny. Yeah.
We're back.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back, everyone. Sorry we missed an episode.
Yeah.
A week before last.
Yeah, because we just had one.
But we're doing better.
We're trying to do
our calendar after we finish this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, we got full-time jobs. We got family, friends,
school.
Sometimes we don't feel like it.
Yeah, sometimes we just don't. We're like, you know what?
Pissed off. Yeah, niggas just be waking up, you know.
The mental health will be helping. So we're back with the current and crime.
Let's go.
Some of y'all may be familiar with this story. Apparently my two co-hosts were not, but that's okay.
Not at all.
It's ongoing, so I'm going to read an article from The Independent. I'm going to go ahead and throw some trigger warnings on this since I am already familiar with the story. So trigger warning for rape, sexual assault, and vehicular homicide, I guess. Madison Brooks was killed by a car. Now four men who left her on the road are charged with rape. When Madison Brooks was struck and killed by a car on January 15th, very few details were revealed about the circumstances surrounding her death. The 19-year-old Louisiana State University student was remembered by her friends and family as a bright and joyful young woman who had a lasting effect on everyone she met. Her sorority sisters at Alpha Phi said that Maddie, as she was known to those who loved her, had made the ultimate gesture that conveyed her generous personality by donating her heart and kidneys to save others. But as her loved ones reeled from her sudden loss, the case took an unimaginable turn on January 23rd when the East Baton Rouge Sheriff's Office announced the tragedy was not arbitrary, as initially thought. The department accused four men of directly participating in or witnessing an alleged sexual assault of a very impaired and unable to consent Brooks before dropping her off on a dark road on the roadway where she would later be fatally injured.
Yeah.
Kavon DeAndre Washington, 18, and Desmond Carter, 17, were charged with third-degree rape for the alleged assault on Brooks. Mr. Washington's uncle, Everett Lee, 28, and Kason Carver, 18, were charged with principal to rape for failing to intervene. Initially, Mr. Carter's identity was kept secret due to his age. Then on February 22nd, the charge against him was upgraded to first-degree rape, and he will be tried as an adult. Brooks's death has sparked outrage in the community of Baton Rouge, with fellow LSU students, parents, and university's president demanding that the suspects be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law, and change comes about from the tragedy. Ahead of a court appearance the day after their arrest, an attorney for the defendants claimed that a video of their interaction with Brooks proved she was, quote, intoxicated, but not to the point that she couldn't give consent when she had sex with the men. But the video backfired, as the judge said that, if anything, the tape reinforces their disregard for Brooks' life in violation of her rights. Here's everything we know about the case. Brooks and the four suspects met at Reggie's Bar in Baton Rouge on January 14th. Footage from the bar shows Brooks falling over several times, stumbling and struggling to stand in front of at least one of the suspects before they left the bar together, according to an arrest warrant. Before the group left the bar, Mr. Carver alleged in a police interview, Brooks asked them to drop her off. Mr. Carver told authorities that Mr. Washington and the unidentified minor defendant asked Brooks to have sex. Although Mr. Carver said that Brooks consented to engage in intercourse, he admitted that she was, quote, very unstable on her feet, was not able to keep her balance, and was unable to speak clearly without slurring her words. When asked by investigators if he believed Brooks was too impaired to consent, Mr. Carver reportedly said, I guess. Mr. Washington and the minor then allegedly proceeded to rape Brooks in the car while Mr. Lee, the only adult in the group, stepped out of the vehicle, according to an arrest affidavit. Mr. Carver later told police that he felt uncomfortable and hated it. The men then dropped Brooks off in a neighborhood near Pelican Lakes Parkway while standing in the dark portion of the roadway around 3 a.m. on January 15th. Brooks was hit by a vehicle and died hours later in the hospital. Her blood alcohol content was 4 times the legal limit at the time of her death, and her autopsy shows injuries consistent with the sexual assault, authorities said. The defense's version of events. Ron Haley, an attorney for Mr. Washington and an underage suspect, has challenged the charges, claiming that the video of the incident showed Brooks was, quote, intoxicated, but not to the point where she could not, quote, lawfully give consent or answer questions during intercourse. Mr. Haley said Brooks exited the vehicle after an argument. Absolutely not rape. Listen, this is a tragedy, definitely not a crime, Mr. Haley told KSLA. Can you tell that she was intoxicated? Yes. To the point under the law, you can say you're in a drunken stupor. To the point that you cannot lawfully give consent or answer questions? Absolutely, that was not the case. Mr. Haley also said that Brooks allegedly told the suspects that she was going to order an Uber after an argument unfolded. Based on a disagreement, she got out of the vehicle. She indicated she was getting an Uber, Mr. Haley alleged. I want the public to know these young men are really the driver of the vehicle, and the young men that were there did not put her off on the side of the road. And then they go on to talk about the video and how they released it to try to show that she wasn't that drunk, but it backfired because it very much showed that she was drunk, which... I feel like that was kind of obvious. So
yeah.
There's more in the article. We'll put the link in the episode. But that is the gist of the story.
I forget what I was reading recently. I'm blanking, but they pointed out the difference between consent and meaningful consent. And it was so obvious, but when I read that, I was like, damn, that made so much sense. And I'm glad I found the wording for that. Cause it's like, if you have to point out a technicality to have sex with somebody, that's still unconsensual.
Right.
Now there's no like, oh, well, technically she could stand on her 2 feet. It's like, but why do you even have to do all that?
Right.
If there's anything less than like full enthusiasm,
right,
your partner or whoever you're about to have sex with is not like jumping on you, ready to like get into it, you know, that's fucking rape. And so for them to do that, it's just, I mean, and I'm pretty sure all of them were intoxicated too. But that's not an excuse, because being drunk just exaggerates the behavior that you would normally do when you're sober.
And you're driving a car, so you got to be sober enough to do that. And if you weren't, that's another problem.
Another thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and dropping her off in the middle of nowhere, it's just
at 3 in the fucking morning. Are you serious?
And when she was that intoxicated,
right?
And that's scary, because young people's men's just attitude towards women in general is very poor. But like, just like these young, very, very young people, they're kids. Like, what are they, 18? Like, all
like 17, 18.
To be that young, to be that young and to have that type of attitude towards women, like, you're not even like a jaded old head who just got like fucked up politics about women or some shit, like these fucking passport bros or no shit like that. It's like, these are kids. Where are they learning this shit from? That shit's scary as fuck.
Probably from the 28-year-old uncle that was with them.
Right? Yeah. That's,
who had no regard for this girl.
And got out the car and didn't like try to stop the situation. Like, that's...
You, like, so much you hated it. These are kids. Make them stop. Why is she in your car in the first place?
Right. Exactly. Help her.
Also, you are 28. You are a black man. Why is a drunk white girl in your car?
I wasn't even gonna go there, but yes, that is you. Do you not know the historical? Like, this is not good. It doesn't look good, regardless of if none of the things happen that clearly did happen. It doesn't look good.
Right.
Yeah. Don't put yourself in a situation where things can go terribly wrong.
Right. They should have called that girl a car, made sure she got in it, and sent her on her way from the bar. Like, there's no reason for her to be in their car.
Yeah, there's I don't know if y'all seen this movie on Amazon called Emergency.
I love that movie. I highly recommend.
Oh my god,
highly recommend.
Oh, stressing the entire time. For y'all who haven't seen it,
it's on Amazon Prime.
It's two college students. They both black. Obviously from two different, you know, socializations or whatever. They come into their dorm after, you know, somebody left something before they were going to a party. He's like, I gotta go back and get it. There's this drunk white girl laying in litter, and the whole, like, the sequence of events that comes after this shit is fucking wild. That movie was so fucking good.
Yeah,
but it just reminds me of that. And then, like, one of the guys who found her, he was like, fuck no. This shit looks fucking terrible. What do you mean? Like, the fact that anybody could have anything other than that reaction to something like this is just, like, not a good look.
And then to take it a step further.
And actually
assault her.
Terrible. Yeah.
That's awful.
Yeah, this is terrible, terrible
show. Yeah,
this
is
good. Like, conservatives are probably going to have to fucking feel it.
Right.
Yeah.
And now this is going to inform a lot of other situations that don't involve sexual assault, but because of this, they're going to use it as a reason to assume that, falsely accused and all this stuff.
Just, yeah, absolutely. I feel awful for that girl.
Yeah.
Her family. I feel terrible for her. Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. That was bad.
There will be updates to that story, obviously, so I'm adding it to the notes that I said I was going to create last week so that we can actually give y'all updates.
What was the other one that's on that note?
I will have to check the note.
Okay. Great, that's why we need the note, because I don't know. It is wild because I just edited the episode yesterday, so I should know. Yates. Oh, right, right, right.
And okay. Then there's that mom that killed her kids, and then this one.
Do we want to do the updates like on the episodes, or should we find another way to do the updates, like on our socials?
On the episodes, okay. Yeah, on the socials too, depending on what the updates are.
Okay, we'll figure it out.
All right, but we'll be back with our main story.
Okay, now ready.
Okay, now we're back.
Take two.
I'm lead investigator this week, and I felt it was really necessary to do this story because we talked about Chris Brown last week, and I think that when conversations of domestic violence come up, nobody really thinks about the end game. That, you know, if somebody can punch a wall, if somebody can do one thing, they can do the next thing very easily. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean they'll always take it that far, or it doesn't mean they can't, you know, get better with, you know, therapy, rehabilitation, and, you know, other shit. But a lot of times they don't, and a lot of times that happens to very young people, so that is why I chose this story. So this is the story of Emma Jane Walker. Have you heard of it?
I don't believe so.
I don't think so.
All right. Trigger warnings, mention of suicide, domestic violence, mental abuse, and gun violence. And if some more warnings pop up, then but that's what I got from the story. All right. Okay. So Emma Jane Walker was born on March 20th, 2000. She's a very young kid.
Young.
So I think that makes her a Pisces.
Wait, I missed the birthday.
March 20th, 2000?
March 20th. I think so.
I'm not sure how Pisces, like, lines up with her personality traits, but we're going to get to that in a second. So, Knoxville is, like, described as a rural town, and the Knox, the Bobcats was, like, their mascot or whatever, and it was, like, a super huge, super popular team in that town. They were really popular. Even in the, you know, documentary, they were, like, yeah, this is in the Bible Belt, but like football is our religion. So it was like very much that. And so Emma Walker, as a freshman, she joined the cheerleading squad there. She was described as having a bubbly personality. She was described as being obsessed with cheerleading and like competition and stuff. She did.
Competition cheer is so cool.
It is.
I used to be such a fucking hater, but like it really is cool.
It is so cool.
The cheer documentary made me see like how cool it was. It's
like the series?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah. I stopped watching season two because
I know, but it was really good. Season one was good.
Yeah, no, yeah. Season one was amazing. But yeah, she did cheerleading. She did gymnastics. She did dancing. They said that she loved being a leader. They said she was really competitive. Her siblings described her as like really, really goofy. When they would talk about how she would dance, they would say, she knows how to do the worm and that's it.
Not the worm.
Like, everything else is just like, okay. She's really petite. She only stood 5'4". So she was just like this really cute, bubbly girl. And yeah, she joined the cheerleading team. She was the only freshman who made it because of her history with like gymnastics and stuff like this. Was really good. Riley Gall. Riley Gall, however, was number 8 on the football team, and he noticed her right away. He was described by his friends as being like a jock, but he had like a real strong nerdy side to him. He was a top student. He liked to play video games on the side or whatever. So this, he kind of struck me as the type to, you know, kind of like High School Musical. It's like he has this whole other thing going on,
right.
At the same time he's still playing like that jock role or whatever.
Makes you think about Glee too.
Yeah, it makes me, yeah. So they hit it off like immediately. He went to go meet her parents, and they described him as like the boy next door. He was very well mannered and stuff like that. They just said they described it as a pretty normal relationship. They were allowed to hang out at the house, but they weren't allowed to go on like formal dates and stuff like that. So he used to come over a lot. They thought he was like really shy because he didn't really like talking that much, stuff like that. So all of that seemed normal at first, but then her friends started to get concerned because his quietness turned into, at this point, he doesn't want to get to know her friends. He's just not trying to make an effort to get to know her friends. He's just not trying to be around her and hang out with her friends or whatever. So they started describing him as, they started describing him as clingy and isolating. So he would try to do red more flag, and more. Immediately. We already know where this is going. So he would try to make it so that, like, he was the only one that she would hang out with and stuff like that. And her friends would try to tell her, but, like, she just brushed it off and then just kind of went off and did her own thing according to him. So they used to have super dramatic fights. They were described as, quote, unquote, that couple, where they would have, like, super, super dramatic fights at school, and then they would make up. They said it was always drama with them, and he would always do stuff like argue with her about social media, you know, especially, like, Snapchat and stuff like that. Maybe probably, like, some other dudes, like, commenting on her shit or, you know, stuff like that. He would comment on what she wore a lot. And for her mom, that was, like, a super, super red flag. So she put her to the side and was like, look, I'm the only one who controls what you wear.
Right.
Like, I'm the only one to tell you what to wear. If a man tells you what to wear, that's super red flag. You need to watch out for him.
Okay. I like that.
Me too.
So then it just escalated. Like, as they would get into fights more and more, like, the, I guess, like, I don't know what to call it, like, the recoil period, that part after the fight before you make up or he would do stuff like go outside her job and just, like, wait for her to get off and stuff like that. He would be sitting in the parking lot for hours, like, waiting on her.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, right. To get off of work. So this is already, like, a million red flags off red, and we ain't even got to, like, the worst shit.
Oh, Lord.
So her friends told them that she could do better. They, like, officially told her, like, I don't like him or whatever. He continued to make comments on her clothes and stuff like that, and then she just brushed it. She just brushed it off. He started sending her Snapchat messages saying, I hate you. I hate everything about you. You're the biggest bitch I've ever met.
What?
Yeah. Like,
wow.
Why the fuck are you sending text messages like this to your girlfriend? Like, if you sort of, you quote unquote care about her or whatever. So then it got so bad to the point where her parents, like, saw that it was taking, like, a mental toll on her. So they banned her from talking to him. Like, they took her phone and stuff. But he gave her iPod Touch. And that, I guess, you can text through Wi-Fi or something like that. But I didn't know that was
iMessage.
A thing.
I remember that from being a kid. Right, I'm like, how do these young people know about iPod touches?
That's what I'm saying. I didn't even know that was a, like, where did you get that from? Did you have, right. Your parents have one? Or
right,
something?
You got that from a museum?
Because that was, like, quick. It was, like, iPod touch and then nothing. Like, iPhones became.
Yeah, it really was just a quick second.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it wasn't even a big
thing. What year was that the last, like, iPod came out?
I don't know. I want to say, like,
it really did feel like it happened overnight.
It did. I mean, I was using it. I was using an iPod in high school.
Same. Actually, I had one all the way up until 2012. I remember that because I wanted to get mine back from my ex-boyfriend, and that was when I moved back to Atlanta. And it was in his car, and I never got it back, which I'm still heard about.
I would be too.
You heard that, right?
If you're listening to music database, like,
I know that used to be serious.
I had thousands and thousands of old playlists on.
Yeah, that used to be so serious. All those LimeWire songs.
Listen, Bear Share
_ MP3.
Yeah,
yeah. No, I think maybe 2010. I want to say, but I don't know.
Yeah.
So he continued to, I guess he gave her iPod Touch just so he could keep cussing her out, because that's what happened.
That's awful.
No.
Every time he would cuss her out, it became a pattern at this point. He would cuss her out and then he would send a message right back, like, I love you so much, I'm so sorry. I mean,
classic abuser.
Classic, like, hot and cold behavior.
Yeah.
So her parents tried to cut it all the way off, but he had a very, like, at this time, it was probably, like, normalized to her. So he had this very special way of, like, isolating her from everybody. So when they said that they didn't like him, it made him not more appealing, but, you know, when someone already feels like they're the enemy, or somebody already feels like everybody doesn't like them, it's like, see, you know, they don't like you because, you know, such and such.
Yeah, and also as a teenager, like, your parents tell you not to do something, you, like, automatically are like, I kind of want to do that.
Yeah, that's so true. It seems more romantic at that point, or more rebellious.
Right.
Which is something that all teenagers want to do. Yeah, her parents tried to cut her off, and so at this point, Riley turns 18. He goes to college. Okay. Like, well, he goes to a local college, so he's not super duper far.
I was about to say bye.
Yeah, right. Like, So she goes away to the college, and but he still like comes back and like he still visits and stuff like that. So at this point, they take like final measures to ground her. She cannot leave the house unless she's going to school. I think she can still do like activities and stuff like that, but they're taking her to and fro. Like, you're not going nowhere. So she would sneak out. She sneaked out, and so like they grounded her for real, like, okay, now you're not going nowhere.
This is why, so just a quick aside. I know having children is obviously a very difficult thing, but I have a friend who has a friend whose daughter is like preteen age, and she got caught like sexting with a girl, and she got a warning, right? And then like she kept doing it, and then so her mom like took her phone and like forbade her from talking to this girl ever again. And I'm just like, that's not a good solution, because what she's gonna do now, instead of coming to you next time she has questions about sex or a girl that she likes, she's gonna just find ways to be sneakier. Like, them grounding her did right. nothing. She just decided to start sneaking out, and I'm sure she just got better and better at it over time. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I know it's difficult. I know it's like, I'm sure a gut reaction would just be like, well, you ain't doing shit then, because you ain't listening to me. Mm-hmm. But like, you gotta create space for your kids to be able to talk to you about these things, and so you can have the space to give them guidance, because otherwise they're just gonna do what they want to do anyway and put themselves in harm's way, and you're not gonna know shit about it.
Right. Yeah. I don't know, this situation feels weird, because like with that, like I feel like the sexting was harmless. Yeah. Probably, but like this, they're trying to protect her from like an abuser, so I'm like, I don't know. I agree though. Like, I think you can't just be like hardball with your kids if you want them to come to you. I'm like, how else would they protect her?
Yeah, that's real.
If she's like actively being abused and danger, and manipulated. I don't know. Except for like killing the kid, which I would do.
Listen, the way this shit goes down, I'm honestly with you on that. Like, it's just at this point, and then it's also a different beast, because I feel like when I was, I mean, I didn't get a cell phone till super late, but even when I was at the age of the person you were talking about, at 13, we didn't have, like, cell phones weren't mainstream like that.
No.
I had one, but yeah.
You might have, like, a little Nokia flashlight or something like that, but it ain't, like, social media. It's not your computer. You had all these things separated from each other. And once you leave school, I mean, unless somebody call your house when you get home, it's a wrap. Like, you don't know where people are, stuff like that. And so with all this technology, they're able to track each other and keep in touch with each other at all times, which is just something, it's a whole nother component.
Sharing locations. Honestly, I was thinking about this the other day. The way that couples can be enmeshed now is like high key dangerous. Like any domestic violence situation or any kind of situation where you need to create healthy boundaries. Like, if your partner is like, you have to have on your location at all times, you have to have on your red receipts, like, that's
a lot. I was talking to my friend, and not even in like an abusive situation, but she's dealing with a guy, and he had texted her, and I was like, you don't have to respond right now. She's like, I feel like I have to. I'm like, no, you don't. Like, you do not have to be like always accessible to people. And because of the way technology is, that's an expectation. Like, if you text me and I don't want to respond for a couple hours, that should be okay. But because of it, it's like, I know you were with your phone. Like, I know I saw you on Instagram. Or I saw you doing this. So I know you had your phone. Why didn't you text me? I'm like, damn. Can I have a second?
I was literally just going to make that point. I was going to say, like, social media is so important now, and technology is so important now. It's like, you're expected to be like on it all the time. And then if you don't, it's seen as negative. Like, oh, you didn't text me back. You must be cheating. Must be second dick. And it's just like, no.
The only other thing you could be doing.
It doesn't fail. Like, niggas just want chill. Can I take a nap? So, so, at this point, she's grounded to the point where she can't see Riley anymore. They break up, and it seems to work. Her parents started to say that, like, she was socializing more, her mood changed, and she texted her friends, we're done for good. So they were super happy about that. They was like, yeah, okay, great, now we got her back or whatever. On the other side of things, at the school, I'm blanking on what school he went to, but his friends started to notice that his mood changed really, like, drastically. And he just started talking about, like, possibly committing suicide all the time. He just kept saying that he wanted to, like, hurt himself or whatever. So he ended up trying by swallowing a bunch of Vicodin with alcohol.
But it was, for the guts, though.
But it was unsuccessful. I mean, obviously, whatever. But his friends were, like, super worried about him, as they fucking should. Because, I mean, even though at this point he's showing signs of being a piece of shit, they still need community to keep themselves from hurting other people and to from hurting himself. So, so they were trying to look out for him or whatever, but he just kept doing weird shit. So Emma goes to a kickback with her friend Zach. At this point, she's able to like go other places. She's not like super grounded no more.
Is Emma black?
No.
Okay. I'm like, she's at a kickback?
Right. I'm like, do white people say kickback? Or is that just what you said?
Yeah, I said that. Okay. I was watching like the documentary and I was like typing. I was like, oh, okay, cute.
A little kickback.
A little cute function.
What would they say? A house party? Yeah. I don't know because it's not necessarily a
get together.
Yeah.
Maybe.
A gathering.
Let us know, white people.
Shindig.
Wait, I was worried Trump's witnesses. And we used to call our events get-togethers.
Really?
Okay. Like,
ooh.
Yeah. But they were. They were people getting together.
I feel like that's very adult. Like, it's very much, it's like, 40s having a dinner party. So
there was never any alcohol, though. Ooh. I mean, I was a kid, so that shouldn't have mattered to me, but...
Yeah,
like, y'all are boring.
This party is lame.
What did she tell Mean Girls when she had her party? Did she say get together? I'm having a small thing in my house or whatever.
Oh, I don't know.
I feel like that's what she said.
Okay, a small thing. You better be there.
Either way, they don't say kickback.
Okay, but... cool. Well, I say kickback. So while she's at the party, she starts getting like these super weird messages. It's an anonymous number, and they're saying like, "I've got somebody love. He's in a ditch outside the house." And she's super, super fucking scared at this point.
That's horrible.
They keep getting messages like, you know, I'm gonna kill him, like I'm gonna do all this thing if you don't like come outside, da 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 da. Just to paraphrase like the text messages or whatever. So Em and Zach leave the house and Riley is like face down in like the bushes outside the party.
What?
Yeah. And he's like holding his head. I'm not No, it's so absurd. It's so absurd. Please do. Because this shit does not
make sense. Because he's not hurt for real.
Because why did you actually pretend to be in a ditch?
Like, no, bro. When I tell you the theatrics are so strong with this one, and this ain't even the worst shit that he pulled. So
oh my God.
Just buckle up, y'all.
Not holding your head.
So he was like holding his head, like, oh, I don't know how I got here, that whole thing. Like, basically, like he got hit on the head, or like he was, I don't know what to call it, like deranged or something like that. I don't know, deluded. So she's like super, super upset. She's crying at this point. She's just like, okay, I don't know what the fuck going on. I just want to be left alone. Mm-hmm. Like, that's her reaction to it. So she goes on. So Riley, I guess the situation didn't turn out like he expected it to. And then he started trying to like do like, was it crisis control or like, mm-hmm. Just try to like make the story seem more plausible, I guess. So he called his friend and was like, oh, I just got kidnapped. Like, I'm over here. Da-da-da-da. They dropped me off in the middle of the, I don't know how I got here and stuff like that. His friend is trying to be there for him. He's like, okay, cool. So do you want to call the cops? Like, what are we doing? And he was like, no cops. And he was like, oh, okay. So they asked him in the interview, they was like, did you believe him? He was like, no, not for a second, but like, what can you do?
Like, you can't just call your, all the time.
Right. You can't just call your friend a compulsive liar, like Alfred. So one day, Riley is at home by herself. Mind you,
Emma's at home?
I say Riley, I'm tripping. Emma's at home by herself. And she's supposed to meet her mom somewhere. I'm thinking this is like in the afternoon or whatever, heading into like night. She's supposed to meet her mom somewhere, and somebody in all black, like sunglasses, black hat, black shirt, black pants, everything, comes running up the street,
mm-mm.
banging on the door like really super hard or whatever. So she was so scared that she called Riley. She was like, I hate you, but I really need you right now.
Yeah.
Like, knowing, I guess he'll pull up if she really called him or whatever. So he's like, oh, I'm speeding, like, I'm on my way. Emma's mom pulls up because she didn't show to the place where she was supposed to meet her, and she sees Riley in the front yard. She's like, oh no, you're not supposed to be here. You gotta go.
Right.
Like, you're banned from the South. You've been banned from the South for a minute. You gotta go right now.
Right.
I know she's scared or whatever is going on, but you gotta get the fuck up out of here.
Mm-hmm.
So he leaves. He's obviously fucking pissed. I lost my place. I'm sorry. Yeah. So she bans Riley from the house. Okay. So this is another day. that, like, the family is all hanging out or whatever. Emma has a craving for ice cream. They go to Sonic. They have a good-ass time. Like, the whole family's just hanging. Lit. Yeah, Sonic is good as fuck. And that night before bed, her father said that she seemed really happy and just, like, almost like a weight had been lifted off of her shoulders. Her friends talked to her, and they were like, oh, we were talking about homework. Like, we talked about homework that we all procrastinated on or something like that. And she just seemed cool. Like, everything just seemed, like, super normal or whatever. So Emma went to bed around midnight. But in order to, like, get up for school, she usually gets up for school around, like, 6 or something like that. And her mom is always the one that wakes her up. So that morning, her mom came to wake her up. And she said that it's usually really easy to wake Emma up. But this time, Emma wasn't, like, getting up. She would shake her, and she wasn't waking up. So she checked her pulse, and she couldn't find it. Okay, so this part broke my heart. She called 911, and she doesn't really remember, like, the events leading, like, the events following after that. Like, mm-hmm. And that 911 call, oh my god, it's heartbreaking. Yeah, so she says she doesn't remember much else after that. So they came and, like, took pictures of everything. Like, cops come, they take pictures of everything, and they're looking at it like it's a suicide, mm-hmm. basically. Because there's no evidence in the room so far to suggest that, you know, somebody came in. There's no, you know, breaking in or anything like that. So they're taking pictures of everything, and then, like, there's this little tiny spot by her bed where you see, like, this really tiny bullet hole. And so then after they saw that, they were like, okay,
oh no,
this is now a homicide investigation.
What? She wasn't bleeding?
I don't think she was bleeding or anything. Like, well, not to the point where they, like, knew exactly what happened to
right,
her.
Right, yeah.
So they had to kind of, like, look at ballistics to figure out, like, what had happened to her.
Whatever. Right. Oh, my God.
Yeah, they said the room, like, typical, just looked like a typical girl's room. It was, like, you know, clothes everywhere, all the type stuff like that. Which I would imagine that, like, unless you're, like, a person who's, like, really good with details, you probably would have missed it. Because mm-hmm. the picture that I saw, it looked really, really small. And you could easily, for me, you could easily mistake it as, like, oh, she was, like, trying to, like, I don't know, maybe hang something next to her bed or something.
Oh, wow, like that. Yeah, like a little nail hole or something.
Yeah, like, dang, put a little, you know, like, I have an invisible shelf above my bed. It looked like a nice size hole, like a,
yeah,
a that's kind of what it looked
Jesus.
Like. So they found 2 shell casings outside. So then they now concluded that it was highly likely that one suspect fired 2 shots into the house. So they also concluded that the shooter had to know that she slept behind that wall. So it was fired at 2 different angles. So there's one that went through, like, her bed is like this, like, her bed is facing one way, and the bullet is, like, perpendicular, like an intersection to her bed.
Wow.
And so then the other bullet is in the exact same different, like, direction as her bed is facing. So imagine, like, a bullet being able to, like, go into her, it got lodged into her pillow.
Oh, wow.
From the top of her head.
Right.
Jesus.
So the one that hit her was the one that ran, like, an intersection to her wall, and it hit her behind the ear. Like, it hit her, like, right there.
So, oh my god, she was sleeping and she got shot?
Yeah, she was sleeping.
That is so horrifying.
It is. Yeah.
It is.
So she most likely never even woke up.
Yeah, she just, oh my gosh, that's terrifying.
Yeah. So the cops started questioning everybody, and everybody was like, Riley, you know, go pick him up, go ask him questions, yeah, whatever. Meanwhile, he's on Twitter saying, and I quote, "Rest easy, sweetheart."
You're lying.
Yes. I love you. I love you. I love you. And that was weird too, detectives, because I think, well, one of the detectives from the documentary was talking about social media and, like, how, you know, through that perception, you would look at that and think that, like, this is just, like, some ex-boyfriend who lost his, like, ex-girlfriend or something like that. Like, damn, that's fucked up. Like, but yeah. So they kind of, that was a little odd.
Yeah.
To detectives. her school held a vigil. They let, like, a whole bunch of balloons go and stuff like that. I want to say he showed up. I want to say he showed up to the vigil. I was during the documentary and I was, like, typing, but I'm pretty sure he did. So at this point, he starts trying to, like, do this whole thing again where he's trying to, like, I don't know, make his story more believable or whatever. But his roommates, like, weren't fucking buying that shit. So they went to the cops and they told them that Riley had stolen a gun. And that he said that he did it because he was so afraid of the kidnappers and he was so afraid of the person who went to Emma's house. And so he said that he had taken the gun from his granddad or something like that. So this made detectives look for security cameras, but the resolution wasn't good enough to catch faces.
What's the point of the camera then?
Yeah, exactly. I guess like back then, like Ring cameras weren't that great because you can catch
just like four blocks
social security numbers off them shits now. So.
Right, true.
So meanwhile, again, Riley is on social media quoting Bible verses and shit. Like he's actively trying to make
this nigga
shit.
Must be stopped.
Yeah, immediately.
Because not you stole the gun because you were scared to kidnap. Nigga, shut your.
You kidnapped your damn self.
I literally paused that shit on that side. I was like.
Nigga, you drove to this place and laid down in a ditch and held your head. Oh, that would have got on my nerves so bad.
Where did you leave the keys, friend? Because it just, yeah, no. So detectives went and picked him up. They said that he seemed cool at first. I think they talked to him like at his house and then they pulled him into the interview room and it was like night and day. He was cool at his house and stuff like that. But then when they got to the interview room, he seemed really cold. He came off really compassionless. And they also said that he kept calling Emma the girl. He didn't say
the girl.
Yeah. He's like, I would never harm the girl or like harm that girl or something like that. It was just like he kept saying the girl.
He like depersonalizing it.
Yeah, to keep from saying her name. And they were like, well, the girl, what do you mean? He was like, the girl. And they were like, you mean Emma? And he was like, who? And they would like make him say her name or whatever, trying to like, I guess,
that's
separate.
That's so weird.
Which is, yeah, which that should have let them know off rip. They said it also seemed like he just like had a really dark side. So he claimed that he broke down on the night of the murder. But cops didn't notice that he was also showing that same. Normally when people say like I broke down that night over this thing, they show some emotional sign of it in the interview or whatever, or they break down crying again or something.
Yeah,
like
it brings him back.
Didn't do any of that, so that something they didn't notice. So his friends had, by this time, had already told the cops about the gun and all the stuff like that. Noah, his other friend, went to the police and told them that Riley had asked how to get fingerprints off the gun.
Now, okay.
And he said that Riley said that he was asking for his roommate. So, like, oh, I'm not asking for myself. I'm asking for my roommate, which Noah thought was fucking weird. And he was like, don't ever ask me no shit like that again.
But his friends seem to have level heads. Like, I don't.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I guess they were just like, oh, that's just Riley until it got too far.
Yeah, but I mean, nobody ever thinks it's going to go this far.
Right.
Why I wanted to do this story. So at this point, Noah is tired of Riley lying. They invited him over to play video games and they did like a little video recording or whatever.
Oh, shit.
And so.
Oh, on their own accord?
Yeah, on their own accord.
Wow.
So they kept trying to like. Not get him to admit it, but at least get him to talk about, like, the gun or something.
Mm-hmm.
But Riley, and I'm thinking, like, maybe he knew he was being filmed, he tried to kind of, like, talk about this, like, fake version of the story.
Mm-hmm.
Basically saying, like, oh, when y'all did y'all's interviews to the cops, y'all was, like, high on LSD and stuff. So, like, it makes sense that y'all thought that, you know, that type of shit. And then he was like, what? But he felt like it would throw them off. Like, it would become obvious that they was recording it, and mm-hmm. they was like, no the fuck we weren't. Like, that type of shit. So he was like,
yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's weird. Yeah, that type of shit. So eventually, in the recording, they get him to mention the gun. They were like, and he was like, okay, y'all gotta help me go to the Bluffs. The Bluffs was like this wooded area by the Tennessee River where like all the teenagers would go and like hang out, smoke, and like, mm-hmm. all this extra shit. So he was like, y'all gotta help me get to the Bluffs and help me like dump this gun or whatever. So when they pull up, they're talking the whole way there and they're trying to like stay calm or whatever. They took him to cookout. Like, it was just like a whole bunch of stuff. They're trying to like, everybody trying to stay calm and not trying to act like they're recording or whatever. So, they kept trying to get him to talk about the gun, but he still wouldn't really talk about it
mm-hmm.
until they pulled up. And then that's when they actually saw it. Like, they had never, like, they hadn't even seen it up until this point. So he pulls the gun out, but he's pulling out other stuff too. He's pulling out like a whole bunch of black clothes and stuff like that, because that's what he's mm-hmm. gonna dump those too. But he didn't know, and I'm not sure if the boys knew, maybe they did, that the police were telling them the entire time.
Mm.
So as soon as he drew the gun out, or like they start to step out to like go dump the stuff, like the police draw down on them immediately. Mm-hmm. And then within 90 seconds, everybody's arrested.
Damn.
So police searched the car. They found black clothing. They found other evidence that suggested that he was the man in black who like...
talking about I'm speeding on my way.
Yeah, it's like you already there. Well, I hate that. I really hate that. Yeah. And I hate that this shit.
Terrifying.
Yeah, I hate that he had his phone on silent too. I wish he had been able to like call him and heard that shit ring outside or something.
Right.
So they pulled him back in the interview room, and he confesses, saying that like he was trying to. And this ends up being his defense too. He was trying to scare her by shooting through the wall, I guess, so that he could like be her hero or something.
That's his defense.
His defense doesn't make any sense.
He is delusional.
Which is why I'm like, I'm still like, why the fuck do you even? What? If you want to scare somebody, throw. This is fucked up.
Don't
but, like,
scare people.
Don't scare people. That's a 100% no. But in the mind of like somebody who is like a kid and like, Joe, your frontal lobe is fucking mashed potatoes, and we talked about plenty of times on this podcast, throw a little rock at her window or something.
Right, don't do something that could result in her death or any type of injury. Why would you do that? And I think it's bullshit, but.
Yeah, no, I definitely think it's bullshit. Because if I was going to scare somebody, if I was evil, like, if I was an evil-minded person, I would just cut the power or something. I don't know. Like, I don't...
Right.
Shooting, there's definitely other options.
Shooting a gun, like, going to get the gun from your grandfather so you could shoot through the wall, that's... And you knew she was sleeping right there. You didn't shoot through
right.
her parents.
You didn't shoot the mirror off the wall.
You didn't shoot through the living room window. You knew she was sleeping up.
You know, and you shot directly into her bed.
Exactly, because you knew she slept behind that wall.
Twice.
You knew that, because you've been there. You knew the house. So they looked through ballistics. They figured that he shot her intentionally, because, you know, there's no other way that a bullet right next to the wall where she sleeps could have hit her for scaring her or whatever like that. So they went with that, and he got convicted, and first degree murder carries an automatic life sentence in Tennessee. So he wasn't able to like plea out or anything like that. His trial started 2 years later. He was convicted May 2018 to an automatic life sentence. And Emma's parents, at the end of, you know, the documentary, they were saying they hope that Emma's story can open up a line of communication between teenagers and their parents.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times when we think about mental abuse, when we think about, you know, domestic violence, nobody thinks about kids.
Yeah, right.
And so everybody's so afraid that their parents, you know, won't love them anymore, or like won't be there for them and stuff like that. So they're saying, you know, like be there for your kids and open up that line of communication and stuff. I also just wanted to share some interesting stats too. They said 1 in 3 women, 1 in 7 men will experience an abusive relationship. I didn't know it was that high for men, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was like 1 in 30 or something. I don't know.
I think because so often when we think about abuse in relationships, we think about physical abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I think, well, I'm not, this is me speculating, but I think in relationships where men are being abused, it's oftentimes like, you know, destroying their things,
mm-hmm.
blocking them out of the house,
mm-hmm.
like verbally abusing them, you know,
yeah.
things like that. I'm not saying it's never physical or it's not as physical or whatever. Like, those things are also possible, but I think it may look a little different.
Yeah. And the very last thing I wanted to share is just something sweet that I thought happened. Emma's parents, after she died, they covered their house and pictures of her anyway, just, you know, to remind them of her.
Mm-hmm.
But they ended up finding like surprise pictures in their phones that they didn't know about.
Aww.
After she died. And I just thought that was so sweet. I cried. It was just so cute how like they asked him, they were like, do you look at these often? He was like, oh, absolutely. Like, and it's just like her being goofy and her being just like her cute self and stuff like that. So I'm just really grateful to the parents for sharing Emma's story, because people think domestic violence, they don't think like really young people,
mm-hmm.
which is what I guess all of this ties back into, you know, Chris Brown being held accountable for, you know, what he did when he was 19, 20 years old. And we're like, oh, he was so young. That's not an excuse. Yeah. Like, and that always leads to escalated behavior, as we see, like, with how he abused Karrueche and how, like, you know, he assaulted other people after that. So it's just like,
yeah,
it keeps going. And oftentimes this shit ends in permanent damage or death, you know. So it's important, you know, to talk about. So
a sad story.
Whew. Yeah, very sad story. And I hope that something comes out of this as far as, like, the story that her parents want, well, the line of communication that her parents want kids to open up with their parents, because it happens more often than people think. So.
It really does.
Yeah, that's the story of Emma Jane Baker.
Wow. Whew. Rest in peace to her. That was deep.
Definitely.
Getting shot in your sleep really is horrifying. That,
yeah, I can't.
Absolutely horrifying.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
Aww. So I just looked up her picture.
Yeah. You can just see the bubbly personality in, like, all the pictures. Mm-hmm. It's just sad. It's just that your life can be stolen from somebody. All right. We'll be back with Should This Be a Crime? Oh, is that okay? Should this be a crime? Here we go. All right, so we have an article from the New York Post that says, Georgia woman intentionally crashes vehicle into Popeyes over missing biscuits.
Of course it was Georgia.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn, why it couldn't be Florida? What?
I know, I was like, it's either Florida and then it's probably Georgia.
It's like, I can't speak on Florida too much because Georgia's trash.
Yeah, we ain't even got beaches.
Exactly. Unless it's like Savannah. Don't want to go down there.
It's embarrassing.
A Georgia woman allegedly drove her vehicle. How the fuck did you allegedly drive? Did you the date or again? Is the window fucked up? Because you know what I mean? Yeah. Allegedly drove her vehicle into a Popeyes restaurant on purpose after biscuits were mistakenly left out of her order, according to officials. Belinda H. Miller, age 50, was charged with first-degree criminal damage to property and aggravated assault. Deputies with the Richmond County Sheriff's Office were called to the Popeyes location on Walton Way in Augusta after receiving reports of an accident with injuries. The store's manager told police Miller became angry when she discovered no biscuits with her order and that she then drove her SUV into a restaurant. It just was
right. Belinda.
That is so ridiculous.
The manager said the restaurant corrected the mistake and gave her the biscuits prior to the crash.
Please.
The manager also said that the woman threatened staff before the incident, including calling the store and threatened to drive her car into the building.
Oh, Belinda was having a bad day.
Yeah, she was having a day.
Miller nearly struck an 18-year-old employee with her vehicle when she crashed into the store. She continued driving into the store until her vehicle was stopped by debris, according to the arrest warrants. The woman fled the scene after crashing into the restaurant and headed south on Gordon Highway.
Running?
On driving.
Oh.
Her SUV was later found at her home with damage to the front. The woman was booked into the Charles B. Webster Detention Center on Wednesday and given a bond of more than $4,000.
I wonder if she went home and ate her Popeyes first. Because, at that point, I would.
Right. I would, too. Because that jail food is trash. She knew she was going to be eating that bologna and cool off. Although it is unclear if she remains in custody. I don't know why that's unclear.
Is the bitch in jail or not?
Right. Y'all need to do your research.
Immediately after getting locked the fuck up. So I don't know why it's unclear that she remains in custody. Maybe they didn't feel like doing the research.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's what happened.
That is...
Wow. Which part are we deciding is a crime? Taking the biscuit off of the order, I mean, that would be upsetting. But yeah. Also, the biscuits choke you out, yeah, which also feels like a crime.
Yeah.
You definitely shouldn't be trying to kill nobody over the Popeye's biscuit.
Yeah, especially when they gave you the biscuit.
And that's what's really wild. Yeah. Not they corrected the mistake.
And it was probably fresh, too, because I'm assuming they didn't give the biscuit because they didn't have any fresh.
Yeah,
you know, probably. Sometimes they're like, oh, we need a few minutes to make more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she was probably not having it.
Yeah.
Belinda. Next time you're having a bad day, call your friends and go to the spa or something.
Yeah,
don't be harassing the Popeyes. They don't get paid enough. I promise you they don't get paid enough for that shit.
You could have went down for a murder charge. You could have hit that 18-year-old.
And they had died?
Oh, my God. What an SUV. I'm just thinking, like, damn, what kind of SUV was this?
It was a big enough SUV to go into a whole building,
right?
Back up and drive all the way to her house.
True, them big mama trucks.
It's gotta be.
I'm talking about. It's like a Ford Explorer.
Yeah, the Ford Explorer.
Multiple Escalade.
Something.
She had a GMC.
It was strong enough for her to leave the scene
and go home and eat her meal.
Yeah,
in peace.
I'm fucking dead.
Belinda was like, Bertha, they about to come get me.
Over the Popeyes.
She called and told him what she was gonna do.
Yeah.
That shit funny as fuck. Well, nobody got hurt. I mean, somebody did get hurt. Injured, probably, but not, like, killed. I don't know. I'm struggling with this one because I don't want nobody to go to jail over this shit. It sounds like she got an anger problem or she's just having a terrible
time. I would like to know what's going on with Belinda.
Yeah, I think whatever happened earlier that day with Belinda is the crime because it clearly put her in a bad mood. And I understand. I've been there. Did I tell y'all about my Popeye's story?
Oh, Lord. It's about when you pulled up and that lady got smart with you or something like
that. Yeah, because I was like, oh, can I get, you know, the three piece or whatever. She's like, oh, we don't have chicken legs or whatever. I'm like, oh, okay, well, I'll just get some like strips. Oh, we don't have strips. I said, oh, okay, so what do you have? Chicken. And y'all, I almost drove through the place. I almost drove through.
Aaron said, I understand.
I get it, Belinda. I understand.
Oh, man. It's tough. Because I feel like the worse the attitude be at food establishments, the better the food be, usually.
Yes.
It depends, though. Like, at Jamaican restaurants and Waffle Houses, that is always true.
Oh, yeah, specifically.
Popeyes is pretty consistent across the board. But, I mean, everybody there be having a bad time, usually. So, I don't know if that makes the food good or if that's just, like, correlation is not causation. I don't know. But I don't need nobody to be nice when it comes to my food. But, like, don't play with me.
No, and then that's what I felt like. I don't need you to smile and say, good day, ma'am. I don't need it.
Right.
Yeah.
But don't tell me you have chicken.
Well, you just told me you had a fucking chicken.
It's fucking Popeyes, bitch. I'm still upset a little.
No, okay.
I can tell.
I noticed this not the even on the same wave, but this I think about this every like 3 months. I used to work at Panera, and this white bitch. I think I already told the story on air before, but I'm gonna tell it again because this bitch get on my fucking nerves, and I get so mad about it. So I identify with you still being upset. I used to work at the Panera on Roswell, and this homeless person came in. They asked for like a cup or for coffee or whatever, and they were like, how much is it? I was like, it's just coffee, it's fine, like you just go and get the coffee. And this white bitch cashmere down, like black American Express card, everything, like that type of bitch, just got a blowout from across the street. Asked for some coffee, and I was like, okay, that'll be $1.73. And she was like, oh no, it's just coffee. And I was like, I used to read headlines and think that shit was very Trailer Park when like people used to fight customers and shit.
But you put in like, that moment.
I'm ready to cry about that bitch because I'm still mad at this bitch.
No, that's definitely some bullshit.
I just hope all her kids go out to college and they don't fuck with her. Like,
sounds like the type of person that would have earned that.
That type of energy. But yeah.
So oh,
it's not you jealous of a houseless person getting fucking coffee.
For less than $2.
For less than okay.
And it's Panera. It's not even like
Starbucks or anything.
It's not even Dunkin'.
This is top notch Ethiopian fresh brew. Like, no, like,
this is coffee.
We brewed this shit 30 minutes ago. It's just sitting in a big ass canister in the dining room.
Right.
Anyway, I know we got off on a terrible tangent because I just got upset. We're going to ring it in and say,
oh.
Is it a crime to be a Popeye's biscuit? Absolutely.
Yes. It's
just dry as fuck.
As hell.
And the chicken not greasy.
How do you even make it that thick?
That's what I'm saying.
How do you even make a biscuit that just, it expands as it gets moist in your mouth and you clog your throat?
British people think our biscuits are scones because of Popeye's.
Yeah.
That they fucking video.
That video.
No, this is a scone. It's biscuits. I know exactly.
I know
we just got that fucking accent so hard. It gave me whiplash.
But somebody was like, that's how I know British people making it up. And that confirmed to me that British people making shit up. Because it's like, when the cameras are on, then y'all like, it's a scam.
Right.
I feel like as soon as that camera come off, this shit is a biscuit. But yeah, no. This is because of Popeye's. They tried a Popeye's biscuit, and that's why he said this shit. All of our biscuits are not scones. People in the UK, okay, they soften and butter, and they're supposed to be moist.
And
okay?
Flaky.
You're supposed to be able to eat them by themselves. Mm-hmm. You don't need greasy, dripping chicken.
And an extra large Sprite.
To lubricate your throat. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's definitely a crime. Should Belinda go to jail? I don't think so. I think she needs management resources. Was that my phone? Okay.
She needs a hug.
Several. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Management resources. And also, maybe if y'all paid niggas more, they wouldn't forget to put biscuits in the bag.
Also bad.
Probably.
Maybe if y'all, because, you know, in fast food, when you don't put the ticket on, like, fast enough or whatever, like, that shit looks bad on y'all's, like, ticket times and shit. So they probably didn't want to tell her that. They probably just like, okay, fuck it. She can come back around after we bake some more or whatever.
Yeah.
If y'all didn't run this whole fucked up system of underpaying people and, I don't know, back there whipping people to make fucking biscuits. Yeah, maybe that all this shit wouldn't have happened. But so, blame capitalism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, fuck white supremacy. And Belinda, I hope you get that hug.
Yeah. And I hope you go somewhere else for your biscuits because you can do better.
Yeah, you definitely
do. You deserve better.
You deserve better.
Had a bad day.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. But yeah.
Well, let us know what you think. In the meantime, you can find us online at
Ayana Killa Podcast on Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram, and Ayana Killa Pod on Twitter.
You can find us on Apple Music. You can find us on Spotify and literally anywhere else where you can find podcasts.
Even Pandora.
Yeah.
Thanks, Killer Bees.
Thank you, Killer Bees.
All right, bye.